If you want to know what makes a pastor tick, ask him what he loves about the ministry. Of course, he didn't ask me, but let me pretend you asked me what I love about the ministry. I love hearing about your walk with the Lord. I love walking with Jesus with you. I love meeting new people who come through our doors. I love our Bible studies and our times of prayer. And yes, I love preaching the word to you. Thank you for the privilege. But one thing that doesn't make the list of what I love about the ministry, I don't love rebuking. The word rebuke is a scary word with nasty connotations. But rebuke is simply pointing out a sin in a brother or sister's life. Now, why do we do that? Because sin dishonors God, and sin ruins our fellowship with God. And a prolonged unrepentance from sin suggests that the person may not be saved at all. To rebuke is to seek to rescue, to restore a person who has wandered away from God. A rebuke should not be harsh or humiliating, but it does need to be clear and humbling. Rebuke is not easy, and it is not without risk. It will change your relationship with the person somehow. It may result in a deeper, more Christ-centered relationship, or it may end the relationship. Our passage today is 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. Just two verses, and this little passage is about rebuke. Paul talks about rebuke so naturally, he doesn't even think of arguing for the rightness of it. He assumes we understand the rightness of rebuke. But he wants us to know how to do it. And Paul's motivation for rebuke is love. And the manner of rebuke is centered in love. It reminds me of the main statement, what we could call the thesis statement of this letter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, 5. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Well, let's hear our passage, and then let's look at some of the Bible's teaching on rebuke, and then let's think about the instructions here in our passage that Paul ties to old and young, male and female. Here's our passage. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. I think it's clear that for all four groups, the issue is rebuke, old and young, male and female. And Paul is calling for an attitude of gentleness and respect as opposed to harshness. We will try to grasp what gentleness and respect look like for each category of individual that Paul names. But first, let's look at what the Bible says about the subject of rebuke in general. Paul shows us that Scripture is our authority for rebuking. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We only have reason to rebuke and the duty to rebuke if a brother or sister is disobeying the word. And then look at the book of Proverbs, how Proverbs talks about the wisdom of humbly receiving a rebuke. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. He who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If we are wise, we accept the value of rebuke even when we are the one being rebuked. Jesus defines rebuke and makes it the responsibility of all his followers, all of us Christians. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So there's the simplest, clearest definition of rebuke we could imagine. Rebuke is telling someone their sin, telling someone their fault. And when you are sinned against, talk to the person who sinned against you. What else do we see about rebuke in the Bible? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Paul places rebuke in the context of normal church life. Sometimes we teach, sometimes we sing, and sometimes we admonish, Paul says. And Paul makes rebuke a pastoral duty. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Church elders have the duty to rebuke. And when we do it, we are to do it with patience. Paul says that pastoral authority must be asserted for rebuking. Paul says to Titus, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Elders, church elders' authority is recognized in the qualifications to be an elder, 1 Timothy 3. And elders' authority is granted by the church in appointing an elder. And elders' authority is submitted to by the church. And related to our passage, 1 Timothy 5, Paul also calls for gentleness in 2 Timothy, where he says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. The goal of rebuke is correction, rescuing brothers and sisters from sin, and it is to be done with gentleness. And Galatians 6:1, Paul says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. To rebuke is to restore, and to do it, You must be surrendered to the Lord. He says, you who are spiritual. And you must do it with gentleness. And you must watch yourself so you do not fall into sin. And then the last two verses of the little book of James. What a way to end an epistle. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Rebuke is for bringing back a sinner from his wandering. That shows how important it is. And Jesus says, Luke 15:7, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Heaven rejoices in repentance, and we should too. The goal of rebuke is repentance. We live the Christian life the way we started the Christian life, by repentance and faith. Because the Christian life is a life of repentance, because the Christian life is a fight for holiness and against sin. When we sin, we repent. And we repent when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes a brother or sister is the Holy Spirit's instrument to bring conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit's conviction of sin is a blessed gift because it is the Holy Spirit calling us back to Jesus. And yes, that means if the Holy Spirit uses the rebuke of a brother or sister, the rebuke is a blessed gift. So we notice a few things about rebuke. Rebuke is pointing out sin. It's a rescue mission. It is the ministry of restoring a person from wandering away from God. Rebuke is a ministry centered upon and done in submission to the Word of God, which is our authority. The elders of a church are uniquely required by God to do this ministry. But in every Christian's life, there will be times the Holy Spirit will lead you to point out sin in a brother or sister. It is possible that your rebuke will be rejected and there may be a rift in your relationship with that person. But when they see their sin and confess and repent, there will be rejoicing. And Paul urges rebuke to be done with patience and gentleness. So now, on to our passage. Let's hear it again. 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters in all purity. Now, Paul is only explicit about rebuke. He only actually says rebuke when he mentions older men, but it is assumed for each of the groups. Words like rebuke, command, and charge usually carry a connotation of harshness. And isn't it true that harshness is the currency of our godless culture, where people are not surrendered and humble before God, patience and gentleness are rare. And we who are saved are certainly prone to dealing harshly with those we disagree with. And we've seen in some of these verses that Paul calls for gentleness in rebuke. In his rebuke talk that we've just reviewed, Paul has said, with complete patience, not quarrelsome, but kind, correcting opponents with gentleness. Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Young Timothy needs to be especially careful in his dealings with young and old, and male and female. What is the right manner? What is the right demeanor by which we do the ministry of rebuke with older men, younger men, older women, younger women? Let's think about each. First, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. It is rebuke, but you should approach an older man as you would your own father. John Piper has some thoughtfully chosen descriptive words for as you would a father. Piper says we approach a father respectfully, with deference, and with man-to-man firmness. Yes, there is a good way. There is a biblical way to talk man to man with frankness, but respect. I tried to think of a biblical example for each of these four categories, and Anne helped me a lot. We racked our brains. Where in the Bible do we see examples of rebuke delivered with appropriate honor and gentleness? And for a young man rebuking an older man, we thought about David and Saul. Saul is jealous of David's success and popularity, and Saul is chasing David to kill him. And David and his men are hiding in a cave, and Saul ducks into that cave to relieve himself. And instead of killing Saul, David cuts off the corner of Saul's robe, and then as Saul exits the cave, David calls out to Saul and says, "See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand? For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you." Rebuke, clearly, but tempered with respect. So, you see something in the life of an older man that is displeasing to the Lord, and the loving thing to do is to point it out, to show him his sin. And God will help you do it while not demeaning him, but rather showing respect. Next, younger men as brothers. Rebuke a younger man. Appear as brother to brother. A young man like Timothy can be quite frank, can actually be quite blunt with a peer, with a brother in Christ. But still, biblical brotherliness is about love and esteem and honoring and bearing one another's burdens. Biblical manhood and man-to-man interaction puts living for Christ at the center of everything. We live our lives together under the lordship of Christ. Remember these verses, Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Hebrews 10:24. Stir up one another to love and good works. And Piper tries to capture the appropriate demeanor for rebuking a brother in Christ, young man to young man, and he uses the words camaraderie, equal bond, manly affection. Men, have you ever had a brother point out an area of sin in your life? It always stings. And if you reject the rebuke, you become bitter. You become bitter toward this one because he tried to rescue you from sin in your life. But your own sin is the real wound. And healing only comes when you confess and repent. Leo read our biblical example of a brotherly rebuke, Nathan rebuking David. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and orchestrated the death of her husband Uriah. And the prophet Nathan tells David this story of a man so wealthy he can buy anything he wants. But that rich man steals his neighbor's one and only little lamb. And David is outraged. And then Nathan says to David, "You are that man." Men, when we need to do this difficult ministry of rebuke with another man, our attitude is that of brother to brother. We come to him and we say something like, "We are both living under God. We both answer to God. Can I share something?" Next, older women as mothers. Rebuke an older woman with the gentleness you would have toward your own mother. Ann and I worked to find a biblical example of a godly rebuke of an older woman. And we remembered that Sarah was old, and the godly rebuke came from God himself. Abraham receives three visitors and serves them a meal. Two of those visitors are angels, and one is the Lord. And they said to him, to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh. No, but you did laugh." The gentlest rebuke imaginable, and it is from the Lord himself. In one of his Old Testament pre-incarnate physical manifestations, I love the Lord's ever so gentle rebuke of Sarah. Paul now talks about the proper demeanor when rebuking a young woman. Younger women as sisters in all purity. Piper suggests that this is a demeanor of protective purity. She is sisterly safe. Piper's words, sisterly safe with you. And for a biblical example of a godly rebuke, let's look at Mordecai's words to Esther. The Jews are in exile in Persia, and a new kingly edict says the Jews will all be killed on a certain date. And the new queen of Persia is a Jew, Esther. And her cousin Mordecai learns of this edict. And Mordecai tells Esther about the edict in the hope that Esther can intervene. But Esther knows the law that even as queen, to approach the king without being invited means death. Her hesitation is totally understandable. You do not commit a capital offense lightly. But here is Mordecai's reply to Esther's hesitation. Mordecai says to Esther, "If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" To which Esther says, "I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Maybe we should call this an exhortation. But remember, regarding older men, Paul said, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him." Sometimes a word of genuine rebuke can be said in such a way that it is received as encouragement to obey. There's no doubt that Esther was tempted to play it safe, which would have been a sin. Mordecai's words were what she needed to obey the assignment God had for her. So I find Mordecai to be an example of gentle rebuke of a young woman. Well, Paul talks to Timothy about rebuke, because Christian leaders like Timothy must deal with sin in lives. These two verses might be lost in the shadow of the next 14 verses about widows. But these two verses are important. And in God's providence, there will be times when sin in the life of a brother or sister becomes relevant for you. At some point, you will receive an assignment from God to do this ministry the Bible calls rebuke. And I know many of you have, maybe many times. One thing Paul is making clear, talking about sin is not a business meeting. It's a family conversation. Father, mother, brother, sister. And there is a way to prepare for conversations about sin. The way to prepare for conversations about sin is to have conversations about sin. You know, we are always talking about the biggest things: God, the cross, the gospel, life and death, salvation, Christ, and sin. The fight in our personal lives to have victory over sin and to live lives of holiness. So may this be a week for you of fighting the fight, of feeding on the Word, of growing in love for God, and of seeking fellowship with brothers and sisters and enjoying talking together about the things of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when you saved us, you gave us a new heart that loves you. And when you saved us, you poured your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit grows love in us as the fruit of the Spirit. And we think of the saving work that you accomplished in Christ and applied to us by the Holy Spirit. And all of this makes us, your blood-bought children, love you. Father, we love you. And loving you, we want to live for you. And we want to obey you. And we want to live righteously. And we thank you for both the saving power in our lives, your saving power in our lives, and your keeping power in our lives. But we are all prone to wander. We need the convicting work of the Holy Spirit to keep us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will use a brother or sister in his, the Holy Spirit's convicting work. And that work by the brother or sister is what we know as a ministry called rebuke. By your grace, give us the humility to listen and confess and repent and follow you. And when you have assignments for us to come alongside a brother or sister and point out sin, give us the wisdom and the courage and the boldness and the love to do it. Just as we want you to use us as you draw people to initial salvation, we want you to use us to rescue wandering brothers and sisters from the clutches of sin. So by your grace, may every believer be growing in Christ-likeness. And by your grace, may many come to Christ through our witness and our ministry. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.